RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So on this program over the last year or so, we've talked quite a bit about Tauranga. There was the discussion about a year ago about the Bay of Plenty councils being strong-armed into fluoridation. Then there was the commissioners running the city, the run-up to the local body elections, the result of that. And, of course, most recently, the public meeting on the 26th of August, Tauranga City Council. So we thought it was about time to sort of carry that theme on, because our listeners have had a lot of interest in it, by talking with the mayor, the new mayor of Tauranga, Mahe Drysdale. Mahe, welcome on to RCR, and congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
How does it feel to be a mayor?
Yeah, it's been pretty hectic so far, just a lot to get your head around, and already, some quite big decisions. So, yeah, it's exciting to get into the seat, and now we're sort of getting into a point where we can start looking at the future and getting the council working as we hope to.
Yeah, being a retired Olympic two-time gold medal champion, five-time world champion, seven-time national champion, five-time recipient, New Zealand Sportsman of the Year, and an accountant, you're pretty well qualified, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's been interesting, actually. There is a lot that I understand. I guess that sort of financial and accounting background has been very beneficial. But also sport, some of the lessons that has taught me around building teams and how that how to be successful has been very good to start with. But very early days yet. But I think we've got a very exciting future in Tauranga.
Yeah, I'm just reading the first line from one of your statements on the website. We need collaborative, constructive and decisive leadership around the council table. I will lead a team of 10 approach. So it's all about the team, Mahe.
Absolutely. I think what I kind of realised in the build-up was, that I am one of 10 votes around the table. And so I can't achieve anything by myself. And it's also actually we're very aligned, the all 10 of us, because we should all be working for the best interests of the people of Tauranga. And so if we're going to do that, we should be making decisions that achieves that. And so that's very much, I guess, where I'm coming from, that we should have a very aligned vision and purpose, because ultimately what's best for the people of Tauranga is probably the thing that we should be doing. And I think everyone's bought in, and we've got a very good team.
Not quite the team of 5 million.
No, not quite the team of 5 million, but very much the team of 10 working for the team of 161,000.
I'm reading a quote here. My vision is that Tauranga, and I've kind of got skin in the game. I lived in Tauranga for a while back in the 80s. I love the place. I've got such fond memories, and it's come so far because I've been back a few times since my time there when the bridge was being built. You want Tauranga to be known as New Zealand's best small city. Describe what you mean when you say that.
That's very much a vision. I think as you sort of depict, look, we've got one of the most beautiful cities in the country, and that's just the natural environment is amazing. But there's been a lot of underinvestment over the years, and sort of poor, what I would say, poor planning, as into what we want it to look like. So, that's very much, where I'm coming from. Look, I want to have a really vibrant, inclusive city that everyone wants to come to live, work and play, and be able to manage that growth well so that we don't have, the traffic jams and the crazy house prices and things like that. So, we've got to solve some big issues around some of those bottlenecks in the transport system, making sure there's enough houses to house all the people that want to come. But, it's actually just having a bit of a better thought of, what do we want here and what's the best for the city rather than sort of being ad hoc and building this there and that there. So that's very much, you know, and I think if we can bring all that together, I absolutely believe we will be the best city in the country, and that's going to mean even more people will wanting to come. But, you know, if we do it well, we'll be able to handle that growth.
A lot of what we've reported on, especially in the run-up to the election, was you know, matters of debt, spending, ratepayers facing rate rises, etc. You're an accountant. When you run your accountant's eyes over the numbers, and maybe you haven't seen that many numbers yet, I don't know, you'll tell us, what do you see?
Look, I see that there's a lot of opportunities there to do things better, and that's very much, you know, where I'm coming from. And, you know, like, I'm not scared of debt. We have come in here and we have very little debt headroom. And you have to say, well, what have we got for that debt? You know, if you're going to borrow money, it's because you can effectively spread the value of an asset over a period of time. The problem is we don't have those assets, so I'm not sure where what the debt's been spent on. So, you know, that is a little bit of an issue. But, you know, going forward, anything that we do spend, I want to see value for money for. And again, you know, as I am in 4 years' time, if I do, you know, if I do increase the debt, I want to be able to look back and say, the reason I did that is I delivered you this, this, and this. And I think that is better for the city. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, we're in a tricky situation. But, you know, as I say, we've got a very good team, and already we're looking at seeing where those opportunities are and to do things better. And you know, we're not in a place that, you know, the ratepayers should be scared of, you know, but it's not a great financial position we're in right now.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you just said there. You see the debt, but you can't see where it's been spent, really?
Well, you know, it's, you know, we do have good waters, and that is something that you know, I will say, you know, they've done well in investing in that. I don't believe, you know, all that debt has gone to that. And, you know, I guess I say that, you know, what has Tauranga got in the last 20 years? You know, there's not many public amenities that you can put your heart, your hand on your heart and say the council did that and they spent that. And, you know, I think of something like Mercury Arena, you know, that was paid for by TECT. It was sort of, you know, put forward. You know, we've got the art gallery. Well, that wasn't paid for by council. Bay Court was probably the last big asset they built. That was about 40 plus years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and obviously the Harbour Bridge. But again, that was 40 odd years ago. So, you know, that's my challenge. What have they got? Where was this money being spent? Apart from, you know, I guess the water assets, which is, as I say, very happy to be inheriting a very good water system. And we've seen what happens when you don't invest in that in places like Wellington. You know, you have water coming out the street. So, you know, that's really very much, you know, what I've seen for the city. And again, I'd like to, you know, if I am going to increase debt, be able to say, look, this is what I've delivered for that, and you know, not spending it on your sort of operational budget, which is the wrong place for debt to be spent.
And just to clarify, that money, quite a bit of it, was spent by unelected commissioners, was it?
Yeah, like, again, to be fair to them, they have delivered some things. And, right, you know, I think, like, the Mount Skate Park, you know, the Mount Boardwalk, you know, those are things that I say, look, those are really great community assets that they did spend that money on. So you know, it is a hard one, but you know, they have definitely changed the game and the fact that they have delivered some things for their spending. But you know, I'm probably not yet in a position to to really critique them properly as to, you know, how good their spending was.
Want to get on to fluoridation, because it was really interesting to see video, which we saw posted, of the council meeting on the 26th of August. And we had a report from Jody Brunning, who was there and spoke there. It seemed to be jam-packed and people had to go out into the foyer and watch it on a screen, etc. And that's not usual for a council meeting. So there's a lot of interest in this and we've been covering it. So with your background as a high-performance Olympic-winning sports person, you must be incredibly conscious of health, are you?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is something that you have an interest in, because, again, I saw a video of you, I think, at one of the meetings where you said quite clearly that we would be making our own decisions here, not central government. And that kind of comes into this territory, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And you know, this is, I have a fundamental disagreement, I guess, with government dictating to councils about what they should and shouldn't do for their people. I think that's just the way I believe. This was a tricky one, because personally, I don't support fluoride, and more from a fact that, you know, if we don't put it in the water, people can still choose to have it if they believe it's good for you. So it's more around that personal choice thing than anything. The problem is, because of the directive and the direct financial consequence, it's very hard for us to go and stand up to the government, in the fact that that can have severe financial consequences on our council. And as I said, we are, as governors, have to do the best by our people. And, it was a very tricky issue. But as I said to all the people, and we really appreciate people coming out and giving us their views, we'd like to see them go and put that pressure on the Director General and see that directive removed, so that we can have a debate or a conversation as to what our people actually want.
I think the deadline is 30th of November. We are aware, because we've been following this, and now it's definitive, of the US National Toxicology Program final version, major review, finding large body of evidence, their quote, that fluoride exposure is consistently associated with lower IQ in children. It is the gold standard in the world, completely dwarfs any research that's been done here. Even if you're going to be fined, how can you ignore that?
Yeah, well, and this is the hard thing, you know, for us, because we also need to work alongside government, because we don't have the resources. So, you know, we can stand up, for this, but that also requires 10 people around the table to stand up. To be fair, I don't think we have those numbers, right now. But this is the problem, is because of the way that it's been done and having that directive, with severe consequences for us, it is very hard for us to make that stand.
Do you think it's possible, maybe even through your council, because there are other areas in the country that don't want to borrow this, and I think you hit it earlier on, it's choice. Whether you buy into it stops cavities or it lowers IQ, in the end, the public water supply is such base level, isn't it, that it really is equivalent to a forced mass medication. Do you see it like that?
I probably, I can see that argument. For me, it's just about personal choice. If, why put something there that, you take that choice away, unless you go and put a filter, et cetera, in. But yeah, I think the Director General needs to have a look at it again, because they're ultimately the ones best placed to make that decision. And, in a health decision, you would hope that they get that right. But I'm on the fence as to whether that's you know, whether they have or not. But, you know, that is very much from a council's perspective. We don't have that power with this directive to debate the whether it's good or bad for health. We've been told, you know, this is what you've got to do. And that's again, I just disagree that you know, they should be directing us and saying you can do this and you can't do that. So, you know, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. And that meeting, what was that like for you, seeing that level, although those numbers of people come out?
Well, I think it's great, and it shows that return to democracy, that people can come and have their voices heard. You know, and I was obviously, you know, very encouraging and allowed, you know, three speakers to get their views across. So, you know, I think that's really positive. Just on the flip side, you know, that is one view. You know, as a governor, we've had a number of other views, and there's a number of people in our community that also support fluoride. You know, and so
yeah, but they probably don't have the information, Mahi. This is the issue.
Possibly. I'm not sure. And that's, you know, but just saying, I'm trying to give you an idea as a governor. It's not. You know, it's not just, you know, that you say because we had, you know, 200 people in that room against fluoride that the whole community is against it. You know, so that's just, I guess, what we've got to take into account is, you know, those wider issues. And, you know, I've had a number of emails since that meeting, you know, telling me that they also want fluoride in the water.
Well, they can go and drink it themselves from their own sources.
Absolutely. Okay, they can go and buy fluoride toothpaste or
knock yourself out.
Tablets.
Yeah, you suck on a toothpaste tube all day if you want.
Yeah.
View, a couple of quick questions still. View on local government NZ. I think a lot of people are aware of what the Prime Minister had to say at their conference at the lovely convention centre in Wellington about getting back to spending, not spending on white elephants, and there were other things he said. The usefulness, and it seems to have gone woke. And, okay, here's a question. What's your attitude to wokeness, Mahi?
I think, you know, we've got to we've got to have a balance, right? Like, we've got to look after our people and take, you know, views into consideration, but we also have to be pragmatic and be able to get on and do things. So, you know, it was interesting. I was at that conference. You know, I got a lot out of the networking and meeting, you know, my fellow mayors around the country. You know, it's still very early days, and it's something that I want to talk to my council about as to what value LGNZ offer us and whether that's worth our council paying for it.
Okay, so the jury's out kind of at the moment for you.
Yeah, well, you know, as I say, I've been in the job a month.
I know.
It's just trying to understand. And I've spoken to a number of mayors around the country. You know, both, you know, Wayne Brown and Phil Major have left it. And I understand their reasoning for doing that, and a number of mayors that also support it. So, yeah, it's just, that's very much for me. I'm still in that information gathering phase as to whether it's the right thing for the people of Tauranga to be involved in.
Here's a personal question to end on. I see you have a young family. Are you going to be able to get the right work-life balance, Mahi, in this job, do you think?
I'm working on it, and you know, so far I haven't. But you know, it's something that is important to me that I am part of my kids growing up, and I am involved as a dad. So yeah, very much. You know, it will be one of my priorities to make sure that works well.
And circling back to where we started, that background that you have, you know what winning's like, don't you?
Yep, absolutely.
And you know what it takes psychologically?
Yep, absolutely.
And I'm just, I guess, thinking that you'll bring that to what you're doing now?
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, that's very much my plan. If I win, the people of Tauranga win. And, you know, that's very much what I hope to do, because, you know, as I say, it takes a team, even in a single scale to win. And I want to take them along for the ride and hopefully deliver what they want.
You're hauling, though, behind you the entire population of the city.
Yep, no, I am. And
that's a lot of muscle required there.
I think already I've learnt that, you know, to every decision, you have your supporters and your detractors. Yeah. But, you know, our job as governors is looking at the overall picture and what is the best way forward and trying to find that balance. And sometimes that's not the popular choice, but, you know, most people, what I've found, are looking at today, and we've got to look sort of 10 years into the future and see, you know, where we want to be, and some of those decisions, you know, will be made that's where we're actually going, and this is going to help us get there, which may not be popular today, but hopefully will play out to be the right choice in the future.
Mahi Drysdale, Mayor of Tauranga. Really interesting to chat with you. Thanks for coming on our radio station.
Yeah, good to talk. We'll speak soon.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.